time has changed and it's ball season. I know your grass needs cutting, garden needs turning, but I sure am glad you're here tonight. Appreciate you making that sacrifice. If you'll stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God. Found in the book of Philippians, chapter number 1. Paul writing now, he says in verse number 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ and the glory and praise of God. He said, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He said in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said in verse 23, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Thank you for standing tonight. I want to preach out of verse number 21. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I won't preach on this thought. I'm a winner either way. I'm a winner either way. You know, in verse 21, wouldn't that be a blessing if everybody in this building tonight could say that? Print it on the shirt on their back and walk around. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Are you talking about a man that had a piece of God in his soul, friend? We're talking about a man that had a haunted past. We're talking about a man that had a very, very hurtful place. My, he would walk in and he would strip Christians. He would pull leaders and preachers out. He'd lead them back to Jerusalem to be punished for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus. But something happened to Paul one day out on Damascus Road. A lot of preachers say, well, come on down the altar. I want to show you the Roman road. People got to get on the Damascus Road first. The Damascus Road's where you're going to get lost, where Jesus comes to you and shines that light in our wretched heart. I'm so glad one day I was on the Damascus Road and didn't know it. I just like Paul walking through there minding my own business, and suddenly there shined round about me a light from heaven. Paul said above the brightness of the noonday sun, he said, I heard a voice talking to me. Oh my, ain't it wonderful that day that you was on your Damascus Road and Jesus come to you and showed you you was lost. Paul said, my, my, he said, I've settled it forever. He said, when I cried, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It sealed the deal. He said, for me to live now is Christ and to die is gain. What a promotion it'd be tonight if Jesus would come. How sad it would be for some of you that knows not Christ and the free pardon of sin if Jesus had come and find you in your condition. I'll get you to look tonight, if you would, in verse number 12. I want you to look at Paul's position. Paul's position. He was a very humble servant. He said, the things, look, which happened to me. I met a man this morning. I talked with this man a long time. He said, Pastor, I thought sure after I got saved, all my troubles would be over. I said, stop right there. All your past sin troubles is over. But, buddy, I'm going to tell you, when you change tracks, when the devil's had you, and you start living for Jesus, there's going to be a price to pay. There's going to be a price to pay to sit in a church that's going for God. I promise you that. Don't let anybody tell you this thing of old-time salvation is free. It's not. It costs the Lord Jesus everything. It's going to cost you something if you're going to be like Him. I promise you that. Write that down. I said that tonight. Going to cost you something if you're going to be like Jesus. And so certainly Paul's position, he was a humble servant. Now, he's in a jail cell and he's not feeling sorry for himself. He said, this thing which happened to me, he said, it's fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. He said, these things that's come to me in my life has pushed the gospel forward. Isn't that amazing how God will allow things to come in your life that seem so tragic? And oh, it's so awful, but yet to God be the glory. He gets it all, and it furthers the gospel of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we ought to thank God tonight that we are people of tribulation and heartache and trial. I'd rather have the Spirit of God on me. I'd rather have the Spirit of worship in my heart than anything. I don't know about you, but when everything's going good, I ain't really got to shout. I can't worship. But honey, you let the bottom fall out and you look at it, one preacher that'll worship and you just drop your hat. You just let somebody say, hallelujah. I'll go to meeting with you when it's in bad times. Paul said, them things come to me. He said, it helped. Not only did it help me along, it helped the gospel along. You notice that all the Christians in the early church in the book of Acts, they were scattered by persecution. You know what they started doing? They started preaching the gospel and people got to getting saved. And God started putting them hot pockets all around the east. What do you say? Oh, them that wanted the Lord Jesus. Them that wanted something real, God scattered them and they started and God went to moving. Oh my, what a blessing it is when the Lord shows up and when the Lord comes by and writes us something like this that we can be encouraged. He said, this thing which happened to me, said it's took the gospel further than anything that could have happened. Paul's very humble. He says, by grace I am what I am. He has nothing to say. He looks at himself as a lowly servant. He's not in the limelight. Boy, ain't it a blessing to be able to go to a church where one particular family or somebody ain't got to be in the limelight? 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 9. Why, some folks, if you absolutely don't use them every service, their lips go to pooching and a pouting. You don't shake their hand and put their name in the bulletin. Somebody say amen right there. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 9. Paul said, for I'm the least of the apostles. What a statement. That I'm not meet to be called an apostle. Because I persecuted the church of God. That thing haunted him a long time, friend. But by the grace of God, here it is, I am what I am. I don't know what you are tonight, but I can tell you this. By the grace of God, you are what you are. It's nothing good in you. You ought to thank the Lord of glory one day He come by. I wonder what you're going to be when you grow up. I wonder if you're going to be a pouter, a doubter, or a shouter. Paul said, my goodness. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Let me tell you folks something tonight. I am convinced we've got one of the best churches in America. I'm telling you, I don't know if I've ever preached in a church better than this church or better than this group of people. But let me tell you something, honey. It's not us. It's the Lord Jesus using us. He has decided, for some reason or the other, He decided to build a new church in Bowden, Georgia. He didn't decide to go across the street over yonder and do it. He didn't decide to go up the street over yonder and do it. He didn't decide to go to my home church over there in that pine thicket and do it. God decided to do this right here in a kudzu patch in Bowden, Georgia, so He could get the honor and the glory out of everything. I'll be honest with you. I kept looking for Him to send in a big crowd with money to build this thing. I kept looking. I found out if God's going to do something, He's going to do it His way, His timing, so He'll get the honor and the glory out of everything. To God be the glory for this little old ministry tonight. To God be the glory for To God be the glory. It's not in your preacher. It's not in your deacons. It's not on your pew. To God be the glory tonight. To God be the glory tonight. To God be the glory tonight. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory tonight. To God be the glory tonight. To God be the glory tonight. Oh. By the grace of God, it's a thousand wonders I ain't in hell tonight. Boys I went to school with, a bunch of them's in hell tonight. Oh, but by God's grace, He loved me, drew me by His mercy, and therefore, I'm going to tell you this, if you're not careful, I want to say something too. the doors that God's opened out of this ministry, even for me to go preach. Boy, before long, people will go thinking that a man's doing something. Honey, let me tell you something. Ain't never no man never done nothing. If it wasn't for the Spirit of God on man, our hearts never would be challenged. If it wasn't for the Spirit of God in the ministry, it never would be a ministry. To God be the glory tonight. To God be the glory tonight. I heard some of the men say, Brother Mike preached this morning down at the prison camp, and they talked about, how wonderful that was. And I say, to God be the glory tonight. To God be the glory that over yonder in a kudzu field, man opened up his house to about five little families that come here to worship. Then God called him to preach. I say, to God be the glory for it all. To God be the glory for it all. He said he... that verse sort of got me off my outline tonight. He said, by the grace of God, I am just what I am. If you got something tonight, it's called grace, friend. Paul's position. He was a humble servant. He said, Galatians 2 and 20, he said a verse very powerful there. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ that liveth in him is what he said. Isn't it amazing that Christ would live in something like me and you? He never forgot this. 1 Timothy 1 and 15. You're talking about a man staying humble in his journey with Jesus. 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 15. He said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of who I'm chief. Boy, I encourage you to know tonight, if God can save the chief, He can save all the Indians tonight. And I praise His good name. Paul's position. Then look, if you would, back in that text in Philippians 1, verse number 12, you'll notice not only Paul's position, but Paul's passion. He had a great passion after he got saved. It ought to be this church's passion. It has to do with the gospel. He said, these things which happened to me, they've fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Now, Paul's passion was the gospel. What's the gospel? It's the good news, the death, the burial of the Lord Jesus. It's the good news that He saves those sinners. But I heard an old preacher get up the other night and he said, let me tell you, boy, something. He said, the gospel is only the good news if it gets there in time. You hear me tonight? We ought to be pushing that good news far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. If sinners die and go to hell without the gospel, it's not good news to them. It's only good news if it gets there in time. May God burn that in our heart tonight. Oh, Paul's passion. Romans 1, verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and we shouldn't be either. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Oh, I'm going to tell you, why was he not ashamed of the gospel? In verse 16, you'll notice the people that it saves, the Jew and the Greek. Aren't you glad somebody shared with you the gospel? A man told me today, he said, you know, people don't need to tell me about how wicked I was. I know that. I need to hear good news that Jesus loves sinners and forgives sinners. The people it say, the power it shows. Look in verse 16 of Romans 1. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Here's the word, for it is the power. That is dunamis. It is dynamite. Where do you say it? Same word that we bring, our word of dynamite. Boy, ain't it a blessing. How absolutely take a man and turn him upside down. Great power in the gospel. I've heard a lot of people say this, I got saved under a preacher that was living like the devil. Well, let me tell you something. I got a few views for that. But I can tell you one thing. If you got saved under a preacher wasn't living right, that preacher didn't save you. Know how, honey, it was the gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is what saves sinners tonight. I've heard that a lot, and you remember that. The gospel. It's power in the gospel. Power. And I've seen it hit auditoriums and people go to weeping. You know, one of the biggest evidences of the power of the gospel I've ever seen in my life was in a prison in Montgomery, Alabama. Probably 65% black, the rest mixed. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, them boys, they loved the Lord. They were singing and praising God. There's about 200 folk. I preached, son, God moved in that place. I think it was 13 of them men got saved. I've never in my life seen the power. You talking about dynamite, honey. It blew that place sky high. It was nothing in this preacher. It was the power of the gospel. And honey, let me tell you, it's a big difference. It does matter what kind of Bible you're preaching the gospel out of. That King James Bible got mom and daddy saved. It'll get me saved tonight. I'll tell you this, our blessed Lord was not born of a young woman. He was born of a virgin. And oh my, the power of the gospel. The people it saves, the power it shows, the problem it solves. Verse 16, he said, for I am not ashamed. Oh my, the problem it solved. You see, the way God exercises His love in saving us is by the gospel. Oh, we never would have known God's love for us if we did not have the gospel. Then the pardon it secures. In verse 18, he said this, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteous of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Aren't you glad you heard the blessed gospel and the pardon it secures? Instead of the wrath of God, it'll bring the peace of God. Oh, I'm so glad. 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul said something. He had something put on his life one day the way I did. 1 Corinthians 9:16. Look what he says. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. I wish a lot of these big gun preachers could get a hold of that. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I know a lot of men that's in the entertainment business tonight call themselves preachers. All they're doing is fleecing a congregation. Honey, I can tell you, you can find out if a man's preaching for money or not. Is he preaching to you the truth, whether it hurts or not? He said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Wouldn't that be a shame if people come in this place and never heard the sound of the gospel? Wouldn't it be awful if they had never heard anything about bloody Calvary, the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins? Friend, it's a false gospel when you say Christ didn't die for all. Christ paid a ransom for all. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Oh, my, aren't you glad there's freedom in the gospel? I'm glad He didn't die for this little handful and looked out and died for that little honey. He hung on a cross for the sins of this old world. And I believe everything from this cover to cover. I even believe the maps. Amen. I believe it. What are you saying, preacher? I believe the gospel is the power of salvation. Paul's position, Paul's passion. He had a great passion for the gospel. Liberty Baptist Church, I hope God lights a fire in us for the presentation of the gospel around this whole world. I want to ask you something. Did you see a change in me when I went overseas and seen all them people get saved and come back? Did anybody see any different in me when I come back to this church? God had to show me something before He can show you something. God had to do a work in me before I could do a work through you. What are you saying? You're never going to go no further than your pastor. But God's lit me for soul. God has showed me what this gospel does in the hands of a man anointed in the Holy Ghost. God has showed me what that gospel does. It's dynamite, friend. And listen, don't you give up on your loved ones. Get the gospel in the hand. Preach the gospel to them. It'll blow them out of where they are and put them in the family of God. We give up too quick. You didn't get saved overnight. It took you a while to get ready to get saved. Don't give up on your loved ones. Share the gospel to them. Sow the gospel every chance you get. Preach the gospel every chance you get. Oh my, his passion. Liberty Baptist Church, how we ought to have a passion for soul. Passion for soul. It's amazing what God is doing out of this church. It's amazing to me. I'm going to preach a message sometime, if the Lord will allow me, on Paul said that I may put this on your account. Won't it be a blessing when we get to glory and we get to see what's on the account of this ministry in Bowdoin, Georgia? Stuff you've never known about, stuff I never known about. But to God be the glory. It's just such a blessing. And you know something? Don't you think one minute the devil's sitting around playing a violin about it. Could you imagine having $300,000? And I don't want to get stuck on this, but I'll run on another song when I find something else. But could you imagine having $300,000 in church treasury? I can't relate to that. Church is a channel. It's not a reservoir. How many people, if we had $300,000, could we impact for Christ? I'm not talking about how many people could we fix from whining. But how many people could we impact for Jesus? You take Brother Dana, one of the best preachers in America. He pulls up in the parking lot in that truck. What? Don't you think God's smiling on his ministry? Brother Demon pulls over you in the parking lot, preaching the gospel, a little handful, ain't got enough to even get him gas money home. Don't you think God's smiling back at this place? This is what's amazing to me. And you know something? All I can say is to God be the glory of what he's done so far. I talked to pastors. Their offerings are down 50% in their churches. Ours is up. Why, preacher? I can tell you one thing I know for sure, because we ain't sitting down on it. Boy, I mean, we got to stretch him in to make a meet sometime, but to God be the glory. I don't want to harp on money. I don't preach on money much, just every other sermon. I just want you to get hold to the burden. I just want you to say, let me ask, did anybody see that I preached Sunday night on that? Come and help us, not come get help. Have you thought any more about that truth? That's amazing right there. Nets full said, y'all come get what we got and come help us doing it. Didn't say come get y'all some help. That's what we want to say, ain't it? Y'all come get some help. We'll write you a check. We're going to write you a check. Come help us. Oh, it's great truth. And so tonight, we must have a passion for the gospel. And let me tell you something. I want to tell you something. God help us tonight. If we think a black man's not going to die and go to hell without Jesus, God help us tonight. God help us. God help us to think if a Latino's not going to die and go to hell without Christ, God help us tonight. Souls of men. Oh, my, Paul's position, Paul's passion. Oh, my, he was glad to carry the message of the gospel. Then Paul's persuasion, verse 14, I'll be closing down. Go back to that text. Paul's great persuasion. This is what he said. He said, verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, do you see this? Underline this. Many of the brethren in the Lord, they're waxing confident by my bonds. God has a reason. Philippians 1:14. God has a reason for your bonds. Waxing confident by my bonds are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. It's sort of like this. When somebody else stands up and testifies, it sort of gives you the urge to stand up and testify. You say, well, preacher, I wanted to testify so bad. I just been wanting to stand up. Well, why don't you? Why? You're the only one got the brakes on. We ain't got the brakes on. Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say, take your lap. I don't care. I was in a camp meeting in Cleveland, Tennessee. Their auditorium's like this. I wish y'all could have been there with me that night and watched this. Brother Chris, little old boys like little old Braden with you. Now, this was a sight to see. That preacher, somebody get to saying something real good and it'd get good. Brother, they'd just boil out of the pew and they'd get to running down the aisle and come. And that little old young and in behind them just a waving a little hand right behind their dad. And boy, I mean, they was running a racetrack around that chair. It amazed me what them folks were doing down there. Boy, you're talking about curing a building program, friend. They'd cure a building program at Liberty Baptist Church. Could you imagine that Sunday morning crowd? Somebody take a lap in that door and out this little younger running behind them, throwing their little hands up. We ought to be that excited. It's okay to raise your hand up. You think somebody going to label you holiness if you raise your little hand up? You ought to thank God that you can raise that little old hand up. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Paul's position, Paul's passion. And then Paul's persuasion. Many wax confident in the spirit and bold in speech. May we remember wherever we find ourselves, in whatever our circumstances, there is opportunity for service. Paul was locked up writing this epistle, writing out of a jail cell to a church he dearly loved. God was using him in his chains and in his bonds. Paul's position, Paul's passion, Paul's persuasion. I want to say this tonight. I want to leave it. I really do want to try to preach a message on it sometime, but I want to share this with you. Paul and his bonds. Paul would have hated our familiar phrase when we'd say, well, under the circumstances. He never allowed them to get on top of him. You know what Paul was? Paul was a thermostat. He was not a thermometer. Big difference. That's the thermostat. What we do, we set the pace of the environment. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we went into our jobs, into our workplace, into our church, and we was the thermostat? Instead of the temperature, because everybody else is a-pouting and got their head down. Don't mean that I got to be that away. Matter of fact, if you'll move the thermostat up a little bit, you may fire somebody up sitting by you needs to move by the grace of God. We got to have some fire starters. I miss Sisterian Wise. She's a fire starter, buddy. Y'all remember first Sunday she came and she said, preacher, I've been listening to you on the radio. You care if we come y'all's church? I said, no, ma'am, I don't care. She said, you care if I testify? I said, no, ma'am, I don't care if you testify. Bless her little heart. She's in glory tonight shouting her out, friend. I guarantee you, hallelujah, she's in a wonderful place tonight. Lord, she could stand up in Sunday school in 30 seconds, say more than an average Baptist preacher would in his whole sermon. Amen. Praise God, buddy. It don't scare me. I promote it, and I thank God for it. We ought to be thermostats. How many times we walk in this place been a thermometer? We're just where everything's took us. We walk in, Lord, help me as your pastor not to be a thermometer. Lord, help me. And sometime I can tell Brother David, Brother Tim looks out there. My goodness, y'all down to about 32 degrees, freezing. ought to be a thermostat. We ought to set the environment. Jesus loves us, friend. Paul's persuasion. Lastly, Paul's preference. Look what he said. Y'all going to be so proud of me, I'm going to get out of here by quitting time tonight. Look what he said now in verse 23. He used the word straight. He said, I'm in a straight betwixt two. In other words, he said, buddy, I'm between a rock and a hard spot. He said, I'm having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better than what this thing's dealing me. Listen, don't look for a lot of heaven down here. It wouldn't be heaven there. Straight. It's a word to... It was used for a description, this word straight, in Paul's day. It had to do with a besieged city. The idea is like the whole city surrounded with no aid in sight where the people long to be liberated. It was used of a strait between two points that forces a ship into a narrow channel. It was also used as a cattle squeeze that pushes in on each side where they were doctored. Also like a prisoner who is unable to go as he pleases, hemmed in by the walls. And otherwise his body was here, but his heart was somewhere else. Paul longed for liberty. He wanted free from a Roman prison and a robe of flesh. Oh, he said, the things I want to do, I can't find myself do them. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, how wretched. Romans 7:15, I'll remind you, friend, oh, this thing of flesh is not saved. Romans 7:15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. And you'll never know that till you get close to Jesus. He said, I wish I could quit doing that. He said, I wish that thing would quit flaring up in me. He said, I just wish. He said, I hate that stuff I do. If I then do that which I would not, I consent to the law, it's good. Now then there's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I thought he's a saved man. Oh, yeah, but he had flesh in him. For I know that in me, here it is, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You better not trust yours. You put all the deodorant on that you want to, honey, it'll still go to stinking on you. Boy, we awful, ain't we? Look what he says now. He said, the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. Now I do that I would not, it is no more I do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God at the inward man. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity, the law of sin which is in my members. He cries 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Paul was wanting out of that robe of flesh. He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. This flesh is terrible. Terrible. Paul's winding down, and he says, depart. That's a word that I want to try to describe tonight. Had just a few meanings. He said, for me to depart is far better. It was a military term. It was used of soldiers taking down their tents. They'd fold up their tent of the flesh one day, and to go to be with the Lord, wouldn't that be a blessing? Fold this old tent down. It was a sailor's term. It meant to loosen a ship and set sail. It was a farmer's term. It meant of taking off the yoke from the oxen at the end of a day's work. It's a political term. It spoke of setting prisoners free. Lastly tonight, God saves us to work. we have a great message. Every saint has a great job because we have a great mission. Every saint has a great debt because we have a great master. We owe him something tonight. You say, preacher, I don't owe him nothing. Oh, you owe him everything if he saved you by the grace of God. Appreciate the Lord tonight. I'm a winner either way. Whether I go or whether I stay, I'm a winner either way. Thank you for standing tonight. If you would, thank you for coming tonight. If you would stand with us.